V'siyata d'shmaya, we're going to learn Yuma Daf Pei. We're going to start the last three words on Daf Ayin Tes Omud Beis. Says the Gemara, and this is a continuation from somewhat from the previous Gemara, that we were learning about the measures of different halachas. For example, owning chometz, owning soyer, eating on Yom Kippur, etc. So says the Gemara, Tanya Rebbe Omer, we learned in a Braisa, Kol Hashi'urin Kulon. All the different measures that are associated pertaining to foods, kulon bekezayis, the measure, is the volume of an olive. Chutz mitumas oichlin, besides for the tumah of oichlin of foods, and we've already seen this in Psachim Daf Lamed Gimel, that Rashi often explains that this is talking about the size of a food to make other items, Tomei, other Rishonim learn this is the size of a food item for the food itself to become Tomei. But either way, Chutz mitumas oichlin, sheshino hakosuv b'mashmon. Because there's something different, there's something unusual. The Torah changed the way it would speak about this particular subject. And therefore, v'shinu chachomim b'shiuron, since in the Pasuk spoke about it in different terms, then the chachomim understood from there that the measure is also different. V'raya l'davar, and proof that a change in the way the Torah wrote something would actually change the measure, is Yom HaKippurim, is from Yom Kippur. And where do we find by Yom Kippur that the Torah changed the way it spoke about the particular Isser, and the Chachomim understood from there that the measure is different? Mai shino hakosov b'mashmoi, says the Gemara, miloi se'une. It doesn't say, don't eat on Yom Kippur, and if you eat on Yom Kippur, you're chayev. It says that that on Yom Kippur you have to be in a state, or you have to allow yourself to feel afflicted, and anyone that doesn't afflict themselves in that way, then he will be punishable by chorus. So since it doesn't say the term oichel, don't eat, it says somebody who did not afflict themselves, then my shinu chachomim b'shiureo, the chachomim understood from that change that the amount of food that you have to eat before being chayev chorus for eating on Yom Kippur is not the regular measure of food which is kazayis, rather it's the amount of food which causes a person to be less at ease, that his mind is not at rest, and that is kukui seves, the volume of a date, as we've learnt. Umay raya ledovor Yom HaKippurim. Why do you need proof from Yom Kippur that it uses the term of lois une, and the Chachomim understood that the volume, the measure, is kiseves and not the regular kazayis, and that's proof that by tumas oichlim, since the Torah uses a different term, we'll soon see what it is, therefore it's obviously got a different measure. What does that mean? Why do I need Yom Kippur to be a proof? In both cases, independently, the Torah chose the way it speaks about that particular Isser, and the Chachomim would have understood that it reflects on the size. Says the Gemara, D'imei Hasam, because if it would only be regarding, and we would only see the difference in terminology by the psukim of Tumas Oichlin, we'll soon see what they are, I may have thought, Hava mina urcha dekrohu, it's just the way that the Pasuk speaks, and we're not supposed to point out and say there's a little change here, and the Torah is obviously telling us it's a different measure. No, we see from Yom Kippur, whereby Yom Kippur, it's clearly not just a typical way that one speaks, because in the whole Torah, one speaks about oichel, eating, and here we have the speaking about te'una, affliction. So it's very clear by Yom Kippur that it's a change of formula, change of the word, and that reflects on the different measure. So once we see that explicitly by Yom Kippur, we can copy and paste that to Tumas Oichlim, that even though we could have been forgiven for assuming that the change in terminology by Tumas Oichlim would just be a way of speaking and not reflect on the halacha, but Yom Kippur teaches us that we can assume that the measure is different. And what did we see by Tumas Oichlin? Tumas Oichlin is kabeitza minolon. Unlike other shiurim of achila, which is a kazayis, the measure of food regarding tumah is a kabeitza, is the size, the volume of an egg. Minolon, where do we learn that from? Omer Abavo, Omer Abelazo. The Omer Kra, the Pasuk says, Mikol ha'oichel asher ye'ochel, asher yovoy olav mayim yitmo, etc. So when it talks about Tumas Oichlim, it speaks about food which is eaten. That's a strange term. So yes, we could have been forgiven for thinking that's just how the Torah talks. Oichel asher yochel, edible food. But really, that's not how the Torah normally speaks. It could have said mikol ha'oichel, any food item. And the food is a kezayis. Achila is a kezayis. Why does it change kol ha'oichel asher yochel? So the Chachamim understood the Torah is telling us that it's not the regular kezayis, rather it's a kebetza the size of an egg. Why, how would we understand that? Mikol ha'oichel ashi ochil is telling us oichel habo machnas oichel. The word mikol ha'oichel asheri ochil means not food that you eat. No, it means food that comes from a food. What food comes from a food? Ve'ezeze beitzas tarnegoles, the egg of a hen. A hen is edible, it's a food item. What comes from it is an egg. Mikol ha'oichel asher ye'ochel is telling us that regarding tumas oichlin, the measure is the size of an egg, not the size of an olive. Asks the Gemara, if you're determining the size of oichlin for tumas oichlin from mikol ha'oichel asher ye'ochel, ve'emigdi, maybe it's the size of food, which is the size of a kid. A kid also comes from a food, it's born from a mother goat. Answers the Gemara, mechusar shchita. You cannot consider a kid as oichel asher ye'ochel, a food from a food, because also the mother has to be shechted to be a food, and also the kid has to be shechted to be a food. That can't be what it means. Asks the Gemara, ve'ema ben pekua. Maybe the pasuk is telling us that tumas oichlin is the size of a ben pekua. A ben pekua is a fetus found in the womb of an animal that was shechted. The mother doesn't need to be shechted anymore, it's already been shechted. The fetus doesn't need to be shechted because that's the halacha of ben pekua, that a fetus, a live fetus found in the womb of a shechted animal, doesn't need shechita. So to speak, the shechita on the mother was also valid for the child. So then it doesn't need shechita. It's called oichel from oichel. Maybe that's the size of tumas oichlim, the size of a ben pekua. Answers the Gemara, no, because a ben pekua is also not a ready food, because ta'un kriya. The halach is you have to tear apart this animal in order to remove its blood, and therefore it's not considered a food item. Asks the Gemara, okay, so a food that comes from a food is an egg that comes from a chicken, and it's the size of an egg. But what type of egg? Ve'ema beitzas bar yoichni. Maybe we're talking about that the size of food for Tumas Oichlin is the egg of a bar yoichni, which is a huge type of egg. The Gemara in Bechiras Daf Nun Zayin teaches us that an egg of a bar yoichni once cracked open and the liquid that came out of it drowned, submerged 60 cities. Rashi brings that here. So maybe this amount of food for Tumas Oichlin is the egg of a bar yoichni. Answers the Gemara, we have a rule, tofasto meruba loy tofasto, that if you try and grab hold of a very large amount, then you haven't grabbed onto anything, it's too big. Tofasto muat tofasto, but if you grab onto a smaller amount, then you've got something. And we have this in many places in Shas. So here, if you can choose between a huge egg of a bar yoichni and the egg of a regular chicken, we assume it means the smaller egg, the egg of a regular egg of a hen. Ask the Gemara, ve'ema be'asa de tzipoyrta. Maybe it's an egg of a very small bird, which is much, much smaller than your typical egg, the zutar tuva, which is very small. And the Gemara doesn't resolve this. That means this that Rabbi Vol said in the name of Rabbi Loza, that the source that Tumas Oichlin is a kebetza, because it says mikol oichel asher ye'ochel, indeed, that remains a little bit of a mystery. We don't really know how do we deduce from there. It means a regular hen's egg and not a size much smaller than that. And Rabbi Vol brings proof from this very pasuk that it's a hen's egg. Rabbi Vol didei omar, before it was Rabbi Vol in the name of Rabbi Loza, but we got stuck with that. So Rabbi Vol says, "Mikol ha'oichil asher ye'ochil." What does that mean? It doesn't mean a food that comes from a food. It means mikol oichel asheri oichel oichel sha'at oichle bevas achas, a type of food that in a single swallow you would swallow it. And what is that? V'shiru chachomim. The chachomim, they understood that ein beis habliya, the throat with through which you swallow, is not ein beis habliya marzik yosu mi beit hastarn goyles. You cannot swallow more than the volume of a hen's egg at one time. And therefore, from this pasuk, mikol oichel asher yochel means is referring to the, that means for tumas oichlim, the measure of food you need in halachas of tumas oichlim is the amount of food that you can swallow at once. The chachomim understood and knew that that was the size of a hen's egg. And now the Gemara is telling us, is going to discuss another halacha from Rebbe Lazar, and again, it's in the topic of the measurements. Omer Rebbe Lazar, ha'oichel chelev bizman hazeh. If somebody eats chelev nowadays, and we know that somebody eats chelev, if he does it intentionally, he'll be chayev koros. If he does it by mistake, since an avera that you do intentionally is chayev koros, if you do it by mistake, you chayev chatos. Nowadays, there is no korban chatos. So what do you do? Rebbe Lazar says, she'yichtov lo yishiur. Don't write down, I am chayev chatos. If Mashiach comes, I'll bring a korban chatos for eating chelev. No, write down exactly how much chelev you ate. Sheyichtov leishiur. Write down the measure. Shema yovoi beizdin. Maybe another beizdin will come. Beizdin acher. V'yarbe b'shiurin. And we'll say that the amount of chelev you have to eat to be chayev is larger than the one we assume today. Today we assume if you eat a average size olive, that volume of chelev, yochayev. Maybe the chachomim will say that no, they're going to bring proofs that in order to be chayev, it's going to be more. Yarbe b'shiurim. And if you ate the amount of chelev of a regular, an average size olive, and you say I'm chayev chelev, a chayev korban chatos for chelev, Mashiach will come, you'll have the Beis Hamikdash, you'll bring a korban for chelev. And in truth, the measure that you ate relative to the new measure that will be discovered, it's going to be smaller than what you were chayev for. And you were not chayev a korban for that measure. And then you're going to bring a korban into the Azorah, chulin ba'azorah. You're not allowed to do that. So just write down the measure, and if the measure that you ate when the Beis HaMikdosh gets rebuilt, that's still the measure that you're chayev for, you'll bring the korban chatos. Says the Gemara, my yarbe b'shurim. What does it mean that another Beis Din might come and increase the measure? Does it mean that another court will say that you chayev korban chatos for eating even a small olive volume of chelev, not just a average size? And we'll soon, the Gemara is going to ask, you know, that Rebbe Lazar says that maybe another Beis Din will be Yarbe Bashurim, is going to increase the measure. Here you're suggesting a decrease in the measure. The Gemara will take care of that soon. But the Gemara is saying, what would it mean? What would the change in measure mean? Could it be that the Chachomim will determine that the amount that you chayev is going to be smaller than your average kazayis? Votanya? We learnt in the Braisa, Asher loyse oseno bishgogov oshim. When do you have to bring a korban? Only hashov miyadiyosoy. Which means that had he known, he would have refrained from eating it. Mevi korban al shigigosoy. That type of person, when he didn't know that it was chelev, he brings a korban chatos. If it's a regular person, it's a chatos. If it's a nosi, there's other halachas. But he brings his korban for shoigeg only if the reason that he ate it is because he didn't know it was chelev. Had I known it was chelev, I wouldn't have eaten it. Lo yishov miyadiyosay. But in the event that even had you known that this was chelev, you would have still eaten it. Ein mevi korban al shigegosay. You do not bring a korban for that type of shoigeg. And if so, over here in our case, this person ate chelev. You're not allowed to eat chelev. So what's the Gemara suggesting? That if you ate a measure which is less than an average kazayis, write down for when Mashiach comes and the Beis HaMikdosh gets rebuilt, write, I ate chelev the size of a small olive. That's what the Gemara suggested. But the Gemara said, I don't understand. When you ate it, you didn't know it was chaylev. And Yochayev, we're saying now that Yochayev a korban is because had I known it was chaylev, I wouldn't have eaten it. Well, is that true? Biblically speaking, the fact that it's smaller than a kezayis, and today, we don't yet have a new Sanhedrin that told us a different measure. As of today, you're only chayev if it's an average size olive, not less. So today, when I have a measure of chaylev which is less than an average size olive, even had I known it was chaylev, I would not necessarily have abstained from eating it. I would have eaten it because it's smaller than the shiur. And if I would have eaten it, even had I known it was chaylev, you don't bring a korban. So how can you say, how can Rebbe Elazar say, write down how much you ate in order that when Mashiach comes, you'll bring that korban? You wouldn't have to bring a korban because when I ate it, it was a type of measure that even had I known it was chaylev, I would have eaten it. Elo says the Gemara, Deloy mechayev a korban ad de ikka kezayis godl. That what Rebbe Elazar meant was, write down how much you ate. Don't just write down, I'm chayev chatos for eating chaylev. No, write down, I ate chaylev the size of an average olive. Why? Because maybe the Beis Din then, the Sanhedrin then, when Mashiach comes, will determine the only chayev korban when you eat the size of a large olive. And then the size I ate will be less than the size required to bring a korban, and then you would not be able to bring a korban, because you were not chayev to bring a korban. And that's what Rebbe Elazar meant to say. And now the Gemara is going back and saying that you first suggested that what Rebbe Elazar meant was that the Sanhedrin of then would determine that you chayev a chatos, you chayev a korban, even if you ate the measure of chaylev, which is less than the average kezayis. Why would, the question on the Gemara is, why would you have thought that that's what Rebbe Elazar meant? Well, am I the salika daita meikara? This that you originally considered, the mechayev korban akzayis cotton, that you have to bring a korban chatos, even for eating a measure less than an average olive size, my yarbe b'shiurim. Did Rebbe Elazar not say that the reason you have to write it down is shema yovoi based in achir v'yarbe b'shiurim? Maybe another court will increase the measures. So if you're talking about increasing the measures, why would you entertain the idea that what it actually means is decreasing the measures? Answers the Gemara, that's not an issue. When Rebbe Elazar says increasing the measure, he didn't mean increasing the amount of chaylev you have to eat before being chayev. No. Shemo yarbe bekorbonois machmas shuron. Maybe the Sanhedrin, the new court, will determine that people will have to bring a korban faster. There'll be more korbonois being brought because of the change in the measures. What does that mean? Because they're going to reduce the amount of chaylev you have to eat to be chayev, more people, there'll be an increase in the amount of korbanos that will have to be brought. And that's how the Gemara understood at first what Rebbe Elazar meant. And now the Gemara is saying another statement regarding shiurim, Omer, Rebbe Yochanan, shiurim, the measures of different mitzvahs and different measures that we have in the Torah, v'onshim, and the punishments. At what point, how much of an avera, what measure do you have to have transgressed in order to get a punishment? Those shiurim and measures of the mitzvahs and the punishments, halacha l'moshe m'sinai, they were transmitted to us from a tradition from Moshe from Sinai. Asks the Gemara, oinshin michtav ksivi, the punishments. What does it mean at first when we just at face value, shiurim means measures, oinshin means punishments? So I explained what oinshin means. The Gemara is about to say that. At face value, oinshin means punishments. Punishments are halacha l'moshe m'sinai. They are written explicitly in the Torah. The Torah tells us, you're over a lav, you're chayv malchus, you're over this averi, you're chayv misa, this averi, you're chayv koros. It's explicit in the Torah. It's written in Torah Shebichtav, in the Chumash. Elohochik omah. What Rabbi Yochanan actually meant and said was this, Shi'urim shel oinshim, the measures of the punishments, halacha l'moshe m'sinai. There, halacha l'moshe m'sinai. Tanina mihochi, we also saw that in a braisa, that Shi'urim shel oinshim, the measures of the punishments, which means how much you have to have transgressed before you get punished, that's halacha l'moshe m'sinai. Achirim oimrim, the braisa says that others maintain, beis dinoi shel yavet, tiknum yavet, who was the first shofet, his name was actually Zniel ben Knas, he was the shofet, the judge, the first judge after Yeshua passed away, and Some say that it was Yabit, was Esnil ben Kenas, who determined the measures for the punishment. Asks the Gemara, how can that be? V'oksiv, does it not say in the Pasuk, Eile ha-mitzvahis, that these are the commandments, this is what the Torah tells us, She'ein novi roshoi lechadish davar me'ata, that at any point after receiving the Torah, no novi, no prophet could create, could innovate any new halacha. Answers the Gemara, no, of course it wasn't Yavetz that made up the Shiurim. Ela shachachum, at some point earlier, the tradition from Sinai got forgotten, and it was Yavetz that was Chozru v'yastum. He was the one that re-established them from his delving into Torah. He managed to restore those forgotten halachas. Continues the Gemara. Hashoyisem eloi lugmov. We learnt in the Mishnah that the amount of liquids that one has to drink to be chayiv on Yom Kippur is meloi lugmov, to fill his cheeks. And if he drinks that amount of liquid, he's chayiv koros. Omer of Yehuda Omer Shmuel. It was said in the name of Shmuel, loi meloi lugmov mamash. It does not mean to actually fill both of his cheeks from side to side with a liquid. No. Elo kol she'ilu yisalkenu letzad echod. The amount of liquid, of drink, that were he to put all that liquid into one of his cheeks, he would put all that liquid to one side of his mouth, v'yeroe kimloi lugmov, it would appear as if his cheeks are both full, even though it's only one cheek full is actually full of liquids, that's enough to be chayiv on Yom Kippur. Asks the Gemara, v'anan t'nan, did we not learn in the Mishnah, meloi lugmov, which means that filling both cheeks. Lugmov is in plural, both cheeks. It doesn't say there one cheek that it looks like both cheeks are full. Says the Gemara, Eimer, you should read into the Mishnah, k'meloi lugmov. It should look like both his cheeks are full, but in actual fact, you're chayev, even if you drink the amount that would only fill one of his cheeks. Asks the Gemara Meisvei. We see in the Braisa, Kamo yishtev yechayev. How much does a person have to drink on Yom Kippur to be chayev? Beis Shammai oimrim revius. Beis Shammai say it's a quarter of a loig. Ubeis Hillel oimrim meloi lugmov. Beis Hillel say his full cheeks. Rabbi Yehuda oimir mishum Rabbi Eliezer. In the name of Rabbi Eliezer, it says, Kamaloi lugmov. It should look like his cheeks are full, but they're not actually full. Rabbi Yehuda ben Basera Oimir Kadei Gmiya. Rabbi Yehuda ben Basera says, as long as it's a single swallow, that's already enough to be chayev. Now, from the very fact that Beis Hillel said Meloi Lugmov, the halacha is like Beis Hillel. It says here Meloi Lugmov. Always, the rule is the halacha is always like Beis Hillel. Meloi Lugmov means two cheeks full. So how can you say, Rabbi Yehuda say in the name of Shmuel, Loi Meloi Lugmov Mamash, he doesn't need both cheeks to be full. Beis Hillel say, his cheeks have to be full. Answers the Gemara, I don't understand. Mi adifa mi masnisin? Why is this question better than what we asked before? Before, when Rav Yehuda said in the name of Shmuel that it's not meloi lugmov, we actually asked from a Mishnah. The Mishnah also uses the words meloi lugmov. So you found now a braisa that the Beis Hillel says meloi lugmov, you're asking the same question. We already asked this question on the Mishnah, and we said that meloi lugmov in the Mishnah means k'meloi lugmov, it means that it should look like his cheeks are full, but they're not actually full. So we'll say the same with Beis Hillel, that when Beis Hillel says meloi lugmov, it means that it should look as if his cheeks are full, but even if he drank just as much to fill one cheek, he's already chayiv. Like when we explained the Mishnah, we explained that the Mishnah means that it should look, it should appear like his cheeks are full. We'll say the same with Beis Hillel in the Braisa. But the Gemara says, if so, I have an issue. Because in the Mishnah, it just said Meloi Lugmov. So you could say Meloi Lugmov means Kameloi Lugmov. But over here, we had four opinions in the Braisa. Beis Hillel says Meloi Lugmov. Rabbi Yehuda said in the name of Rabbi Eliezer, Kimeloi Lugmov. If you're now going to say that when Beis Hillel says Meloi Lugmov, it means Kameloi Lugmov, then Beis Hillel and Rabbi Yehuda in the name of Rabbi Eliezer are the same opinion. Ihoche Haino Rabbi Eliezer. And if Rabbi Eliezer says k'meloi lugmov, can we not assume that when Beis Hillel says meloi lugmov, he means actually both cheeks full? Says the Gemara, no. Both Beis Hillel and Rabbi Eliezer, they mean one cheek full is enough. There's a difference, however, between meloi lugmov, which it says in our Mishnah, and Beis Hillel used, and k'meloi lugmov that Rabbi Eliezer said. Ikubenayu maloy lugmov dochuk. What happens if it just about fills one of his cheeks? It's not filling, fulfilled one cheek. Then if you say maloy lugmov, that means that that one cheek has to be completely full, which is a larger measure. Kamaloy lugmov means that even if that one cheek is not completely full, it's just about full, it is a smaller measure, that's also enough to be chayiv. And if so, coming back to our Mishnah, when our Mishnah says maloy lugmov, and we saw in the name of Shmuel, it doesn't mean both cheeks are full, it means just one cheek are full. Since the Mishnah used the term maloy lugmov and not kamaloy lugmov, then we can assume that, and our Mishnah also says, like Bis Hillel, that that one cheek has to be very full. Says the Gemara, Maskif la Rabbeishia. Rabbeishia is now challenging this. Im Kain, if you say that Bis Hillel, who said Maloy Lugmov, in actual fact only means one cheek, Havale Mikule Bis Shammai Umechumre Bis Hillel. What did Bis Shammai say? Bis Shammai said a Ravias. Now, one cheek full is definitely less than a Ravias. Two cheekfuls is definitely more than a ravias. So when we assume that Bis Hillel, who said Maloy Lugmov, means two cheekfuls, then Bis Hillel is actually more lenient. Bis Shammai say that you're chayev if you drank just a ravias. Bis Hillel say you're only chayev when you drink two cheekfuls, which is a much larger measure. But now that we say that Bis Hillel means one cheekful, which is less than a ravias, which means that they are being more stringent than Bis Shammai. Bis Shammai say you're only chayev if you drink a ravias. Bis Hillel say you're already chayev when you drink a cheekful, which is less than a ravias. And if, indeed, Beis Hillel is being more stringent than Beis Shammai, which is a rare occurrence, why is it not mentioned in the Mishnayos and Maseches Idyos that lists all the places that Beis Shammai is more lenient than Beis Hillel? Im kein havelei mikule Beis Shammai umichumre Beis Hillel. Then according to how we've explained that Beis Hillel is the what Bis Hillel means with Maloy Lugmov is like we saw before in the name of Shmuel, that it means just one cheek full. It doesn't mean both cheeks full. It just looks like two cheeks full. Then Beis Hillel are being more stringent. It should be mentioned in the Mishnayos and Idyos. Answers the Gemara. Omar lei. So he answered the answer to Reb Hoshaya that ki itchil, when the question was asked how much you have to drink in order to be chayev, because you'll remember the Brisa that we quoted these four opinions, how does the Brisa start? Kamo yishtev ye chayev. How much do you have to drink on Yom Kippur to be chayev? So the Gemara is now saying to Rabbi Ishia, when that question was asked, it was asked regarding Oig Melech HaBoshon Itchel. It was asked regarding Oig Melech HaBoshon. It probably doesn't mean Oig Melech HaBoshon. It means a huge person, a much larger person with a very large cheek. And if so, to have a Lu Beis Shammai L'chumra. If somebody's got a very large cheek, not a standard cheek, then Beis Hillel, who says a cheekful of such a large person is even more than a ravias, and if so, Beis Shammai is the one that is being more stringent. Beis Shammai says that even Oig Melech HaBoshon will be, if he were a Yid, if he was Chayev, if he were bound by the Lochus of Yom Kippur, then he would be Chayev for drinking just a ravias. And Beis Hillel say no, it's got to be a cheekful, which is much more than a ravias for such a large person. So we see from the Gemara here that the measure of a Maloy Lugmov, of a cheek, is not a standard fixed measure. It's every person according to his cheek. We just know that an average person, a single cheek is less than a ravias, but it's every person with his own cheek. Maskiflor Abzeira is now asking about this. Maishna Achila, why is it that when it comes to the amount that you have to eat in order to be chayev on Yom Kippur, to kol chad v'chad, it doesn't matter how big you are and who you are, b'kakoseves, the amount that you'll be chayev is for eating a volume of a date. Why is that different from drinking to kol chad v'chad b'didei, that every person according to how large his cheek is? Answers the Gemara, Omar le Abaya. Abaya said to Reb Zeira, Kiblehu le Rabbonon. The Rabbonon understood and accepted that b'kakoseves, that regarding eating, if you eat the measure of a date, then his mind is already at ease and he's already considered that he's not afflicting himself, and therefore he's chayiv. Botzim mehoch, if you eat less than that amount, lo miyasva. It doesn't put a person's mind at ease. However, by b'shtia, B'didei miyas v'dayte. B'dechavrei loy miyas v'dayte. However, regarding drinking, a person's mind will only be put at ease, and he will no longer be distressed from the thirst, and will no longer feel the affliction, is only with his own cheek full. However, if he were to drink less than that, even though it would fill somebody else's cheek, it will not put his mind at ease, and therefore every person is going to be chayav for drinking the amount that he'll fit into his cheek. Maskif lo Rabzeira. Rabzeira is now asking, V'chol ha'olam kulay b'kukui sevis. V'oig melech haboshon b'kukui sevis. Does it make sense that all normal people, they eat the volume of a date, and already they're relieved from the distress of the hunger, and they're no longer feeling afflicted? And Oig Melech HaBoshon, this huge giant, he also eats just a little bit, just the date volume, and it will put his mind at rest as well. Does that make sense that all people, irrespective of their size, their minds will be at rest with eating the same measure of food? Omale Abai said, yes, Kimlu L'Rabbonon, that's what the Rabbonon, they understood. D'Bahochi Miyas V'Dayte, that when it comes to solids, then to eating, a person's mind will be put at rest with eating this amount of food, the size of a date, botzer mehocha, and less than that, lo miyas v'dayte. The only difference will be that miu, nonetheless, kule alma, when everybody else, any normal person, is going to eat the volume of a date, then tuva, then it will alleviate his affliction on a larger level. V'oig melech haboshon, and oig melech haboshon eats the volume of a date, then purta, it will only relieve him a little bit. But nonetheless, everybody will be relieved by eating the volume of a date. It just depends how much relief he's going to get. Maskif lo Rav Zeira. Again, Rav Zeira asks the question. All solids are the same measure that it's a kuseves, the size of a date. Boso shomin b'kuseves. Does it make sense that one eats fatty meat, then that's going to relieve a person's feeling of affliction? And for lulavi gufanim b'kukiseves, and eating the shoots of a grapevine, it's going to do the same thing, that it's the volume of a date, which is going to set his mind at rest. These shoots of a grapevine, they're much less satisfying than eating fatty meats. Omale Abaye, again Abaye says, Kimlu l'rabonon, the rabonon knew, d'bohochem yas v'dayte. Eating this measure, a date's volume, puts every person's mind at ease. It doesn't matter what he's eating. The difference will be that botzer mehochalom yas v'dayte, and less than this measure, will not put his mind at rest. However, miu botzer shomein, if you eat this measure of fatty meats, tuva, it will put you very much at peace and very much alleviate the stress of the affliction. Lulavi gefonim, but if you eat just the shoots of a grapevine, that same amount, purta, it will only relieve the person a little bit. Continues the Gemara, we're now moving to another aspect of eating on Yom Kippur, and this is regarding within what time period do you have to have eaten the food you're eating that it will be considered, it will be combined to a kuseves. If you nibble at a food and every 10 minutes you take a tiny little piece, then it's not probable that after a few hours that you've finally consumed this date size food, that that's considered that you've eaten the kuseves and you're chayev. There must be a certain amount, a time frame, that only within that time frame everything you've eaten is combined to that measure. So we know that as a rule, and this is a rule in other places in Shas, it's a Mishnah in Krisus Daf Yud Beis, that kezayis, whenever the measure to be chayev, or when there's a mitzvah, or anything to do with the food, which is the size of a kezayis, we only view it as a kezayis if it was consumed within b'kedei achilas pras. A loaf of bread typically was enough for two meals. Pras is half the loaf, which is enough, which is called a meal. A meal is a pras, which is half of a loaf, where the loaf was enough for two meals. So the halach is, kezayis b'kedei achilas pras, whatever combines, whatever is eaten within the time it takes to eat this half a loaf, then if you eat a kezayis within that amount of time, then it's considered that it's a kezayis. If it took you longer than that to eat it, it's not considered that you ate a kezayis. And the same is true And this is from a Tisefta. The Tisefta says that ukiseves, the amount of time that you have to eat the food, the size of a date, which is more than a kazayis, is also b'kdei achilas pras. You have to have eaten the entire measure of the food, the volume of a date, within the time it takes to eat that half a loaf. And Maskev Rava, Rava found this very illogical. If you say that a kazayis, which is a smaller measure, where you have to eat it within that small amount of time called kdei achilas pras, logic would dictate that when eating a larger volume, that you would be given a larger amount of time within which to eat it. And nonetheless, we see that's not the case. Kazayis b'kdei achilas pras, v'kaseves b'kdei achilas pras. Answers the Gemara, Omar le'Abaya, Kimlu le'Rabbonon. The Rabbonon understood, Debahochem miyas v'dayte. A person's mind is at rest when he eats, only when he eats this measure, the date size food, within the amount of time it takes to eat this half a loaf. B'tfei mehocha, but if it took longer than that to eat this koseves, lo'y miyas v'dayte, his mind will be not put at rest, his mind will not be at ease, it will not be considered as if he's not afflicting himself, he will not be chayev on Yom Kippur. Similarly, asks the Gemara, Maskif la'Rava, another question, that b'koseves b'kdei achilas pras, and others say that the version of the Gemara is kazayis b'kdei achilas pras. Either way, a kazayis or the koseves is only considered as being combined and being called that you've eaten either the kazayis or the koseves is only if you ate it within the amount of time it takes to eat half a loaf. That's a given, we saw that before. But there's another halacha, and that is that when a person eats tomei foods, even though min ha-Torah he doesn't become tomei, midirabonon, if a person eats a certain amount of tomei food, then he becomes tomei and he's unfit for eating truma and hektish. How much does a person have to eat that, how much of the tomei food does a person have to eat that from that point on he's not allowed to eat truma or hektish? That's half a pras. You remember there was this big loaf which is two meals. A pras is half a loaf which is a one meal. Half a pras, if you eat half a pras, then that's how much you have to have eaten of tomei food, that from that point you're not allowed to eat truma and hektish. But we know, within how much time do you have to have eaten this half a pras in order to say that everything you've eaten is combined to half a pras and you're not allowed to eat hektish and truma? It's b'kdei achilas pras. You have to eat it within the time it takes to eat a whole pras, which is a single meal. So does it make sense that the koseves or the kazayis or any amount of food that you eat is kdei achilas pras, and a koseves or a kazayis is much smaller than a chetzi pras? A chetzi pras is half of what you would eat in a whole meal. It's much more than a koseves or a kazayis. So how can it be that in order to for a koseves or a kazayis to be combined, you need to eat it within the amount of time it takes to eat a whole pras? How can it be that a much larger volume than that, a chetzi pras of food, which, as we said, is a halacha that applies regarding eating tomei food, how can it be that within such a short time of kdei achilas pras, it's called that it's combined? Logic would have dictated that you would be given a larger amount of time within which time to eat this chetzi pras. Answers the Gemara, Omale Rav Papa, Hanach l'tumas gvia. Don't ask questions from this tuma, which is a body becoming tuma from food, because that's only a drabonon. V'lav doiraisahi, it's not a biblical tuma, it's only a rabbinical one. Since it's only drabonon, they were makel. They said if you manage to eat the whole chetzi pras within the amount it normally takes to eat a pras, it's called b'kdei achilas pras, then this tuma drabonon will apply. If, however, it took you longer than that to eat it, then we will not combine it, and you will not be tomei. Asks the Gemara, Umi Omar of Papa, Hachi, could Rav Papa really have said this, that the tumas hagvia, that the fact that a person becomes tomei when he consumes tomei food items is only a rabbinical one? V'oksiv, does it not say in the pasuk, v'loi sitamu bohem v'nitmesem bom? The pasuk says, do not contaminate yourselves through them, lest you become contaminated through them. V'omar Rav Popa, and Rav Popa said, Mikan, that this is a source. We learn from here, Shetumas Kviya Do'iraisa, that when a person becomes Tomei because he ate Tomei foods, it's actually a biblical Tumah. And that seems to be contrary to what Rav Popa said before. To answer Rav's question, the reason they gave them such a short measure of time, a short span of time within which to eat this chetzi pras, is because it's only midrabanon. Answers the Rabbonon, midrabanon. The truth is, even Rav Popa understands and holds that this tumah is only midrabanon. Ukras machta ba'alma, and Rav Popa just found some allusion in the pasuk that is hinting somewhat to this concept, which is in truth a rabbinical concept, but not that the pasuk itself is a source for this halacha. Continues the Gemara, Kol ha'oichlin. We saw in the Mishnah that all food items, all solids, the volume of however much you eat of the food, they all combine, and if between all the different solid food items that you ate, it makes the measure of a large date, ikiseves hagasa, yochayev on Yom Kippur. Omer of Papa. Ochal umtza umilcha. If somebody ate a piece of meat with salt on it, mitzdari, if we combine the salt to the meat to reach that larger volume. Afal gav de lav achili. Even though consuming salt is not considered an act of eating, kiven de ochle incha mitzdarofin. Since people eat meat in this manner, that they put salt on it, then the salt is combined with the meat to make up the full measure. Omer Rish Lakish, another example, says Rish Lakish, tzir, which is brine, she'al gabe yorok, that he poured this brine as a dressing on top of some vegetation, some greenery, mitztari flika kiseves, it's combined with the yorokis, with the vegetation, to be a kiseves for the volume of a large date, b'yema kippurim. Asks the Gemara Pshita, is that not obvious? Why? What is Rish Lakish trying to impress on us? Says the Gemara Maudot, I may have thought, mashkehu. The brine in and of itself is a liquid, it's not a solid, and therefore it would not combine with the yorokis, which are solids. Komash Malon Rish Lakish is coming to teach us, kol achshure uchla uchlahu. Since it's there to prepare the food, to improve the food, to spice the food and season the food, it's combined together with the solid to make up the dates measure, the kuseves, of to be chayiv on Yom Kippur. Another halacha from Rish Lakish regarding eating on Yom Kippur, Omer Rish Lakish, ho'ichil achila gasa b'yom ha'kippurim potor. We know that achila gasa is excessive eating, a type of eating which can hardly be called eating, the body does not benefit from at all, it's overeating. And this would be possible, it would not, Yom Kippur afternoon, this wouldn't be possible, because you cannot overeat before eating normally. So, and then you'll be chayev. But this is talking about at the onset of Yom Kippur. You've just finished a lavish Sudas HaMafsekes. You're totally full. And as Yom Kippur sets in, you continue eating. That is called excessive eating, overeating. And it's hardly called eating. There's no benefit to the body from that type of food consumption. So Rish Lakish says that if you eat achila gasa on Yom Kippur, potur, he's potur. My tama. What would be the source for that? Asher lois unoksiv, because the pasuk says that when you chayev, that when a person ate and the eating actually caused him not to be afflicted on Yom Kippur, that's when he's chayev. So you see that the only time you chayev is if what you did was alleviate your affliction. But if you were engaged in doing something else, you were not alleviating affliction, you were actually just damaging yourself and damaging the food, prat lemazik. When all you're busy doing is damaging yourself and the food, you're not going to be chayev on Yom Kippur. Omer b'Yirmiyah, Omer Rish Lakish, b'Yirmiyah said in the name of Rish Lakish, a similar and related halacha, Zor she'ochal truma achila gasa. We know that if somebody who's not a kohen eats truma, it's a big averi, he's chayev. What happens if a zor eats truma, but he doesn't eat it with normal eating, he eats it achila gasa, excessive eating, overeating? Then, meshalim es hakeren, he has to pay for the value of the truma that he ate, ve'eni meshalim es hachoymesh, because normally when a person eats truma, when he's not a kohen, and he's eating truma, you have to add on a fifth. You add on an extra 25% of the value of what you ate, you have to add that on when you pay for what you ate. And the 25% becomes a fifth when you add it. The 25% of the 125% is a fifth. That's called a chaymash. But this person that didn't actually eat, he was just engaged in overeating and excessive consumption, then he has to pay for what he stole. But the chaymash he doesn't need to pay, because the pasuk says, ki yoichel, that you have to pay the extra chaymash when you've eaten the truma. Prat lemazik, when you're not engaged in eating, you're engaged in just damaging yourself and the food you're eating, then you have to pay for the damages, but you do not need to pay the extra chaymash. Omer Rabbi Yirmiyah, Omer Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yirmiyah said in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, that zor shekoises sa'irim shel truma. A person who, koises actually means he chews, and it's just a not normal way of eating. So somebody who chews away at sa'irim shel truma, a zor, somebody who's not a kohen, who's eating barley of truma in a not normal fashion, he cannot be called eating. It's almost called that he's damaging, but he's not engaged in eating. Mashalim esakeren, he pays for the value of those barley that he ate. Ve'ena mashalim esachemish, but the extra fifth he doesn't pay. Again, ki yeichal, it says in the pasuk, you only chayev the extra fifth if you are engaged in eating. Prat lemazik, to the exclusion of somebody who's engaged in damaging the truma. Another similar halacha, omer of shizbi, omer of yeichanon, zor shebola. The shzifin, if somebody who's not a kohen, he swallowed, and swallowing is a normal act of eating. It's not like chewing of the barley that we saw before. He swallowed the shzifin, which could be plums, shel truma, vehikion, and then he threw them up. He sicked it out. Va'ochlon achir, and then another non-kohen came, another zor came, and he ate what that plum that had already been swallowed by somebody else and had been thrown up. Then Rishoin, Mishalim, Keren, V'chomish. The first person pays for the plum, for this shazif. He took a shazif of truma. He's not a kohen. He has to pay for it. He swallowed it. And that's a regular way of consuming this food item. Pay the extra chomish. However, Shaini, the second person, Ein Mishalim Elod Me'etzim. This plum, this shazif, once it's been swallowed and thrown up, it's not really fit for anything, certainly not fit for eating. What's it fit for? It's fit for firewood. Since it's fit for firewood, the second person that ate it, he has to pay whatever amount of firewood value this shazif had. And he pays it l'rishon. Mishalim is d'mei eitzim l'rishon bilvad. He pays the value of firewood of this shazif to the first person who consumed these plums. Because the first person who consumed it, that's it. He was the one that actually took it away from the kohenim. He pays the keren and the chaymash. Now it's his. Once it's his, if somebody else took it, that's somebody else. He only has to pay the keren and not the chaymash. Continues the Gemara, Ha'oichel v'ashoisa ein mitzdarafim. The final statement in the Mishnah is that food and drink do not combine, and if he eats half a measure of food, half a kiseves, and half a meloi lugma of drink, then it's not considered as if he's eaten or he's transgressed the issa of not afflicting oneself on Yom Kippur, he will not be chayev. Asks the Gemara, Mantana, who is the opinion that holds that foods and drinks, solids and liquids, do not combine? Omer of Chizda. Rav Chizda says, indeed, b'machleikus shnuya, it is a machleikus, Rabbi Yeshua, and the Mishnah is actually following the opinion of Rabbi Yeshua. Ditnan, because we learned in the Mishnah in Me'ila, klal Omer Rabbi Yeshua. Rabbi Yeshua said a rule, kol shetum osoy v'shi uroy shove mitztarif. Tum osoy v'loy shi uroy. Shi'uroi v'loi tum asoi, loi tum asoi v'loi shi'uroi, ein mitzdarfim. And this sounds very complicated, but it's actually very straightforward. There are three different transmitters of tuma. There's a sheretz, which are certain types of creatures with their unique type of tuma. There's nevela, which is a corpse, a dead animal. And there's a mace, a human person who's died. Now, in each of these three concepts, there's how much of sheret or nevela or mace does it have to be, what size does it have to be in order to be tomei? And then there's another concept, and that is the halachas. Once somebody becomes tomei from any of these three, how long is he tomei for? So shi'uroi is the measure of either sheret or nevela or mace, which is the measure that from that size and up, they actually transmit the tumah. And this tumoson is that when the tumah is transmitted, how long does the tumah, is it there? So sheretz, it's shi'uroi, the measure of sheretz that's needed in order for it to be able to make something tummy, is ka'adosha, the size of a lentil. Nevela, the size is a kazayis. Mace, the size is a kazayis. Which means as far as shi'uroi is concerned, nevela and mace have something in common, they have the same shi'ur, the same measure. Regarding tum osoy, how long, what type of tumah, what's the extent of the tumah that's being transmitted, sheretz and nevela have in common that anything that becomes tumah from a sheretz or a nevela is only tumah till that evening. However, regarding the mace, the human corpse, then the tumah is for 7 days. So according to the Chachomim, then sheretz, nevela, mace will always combine. It doesn't matter whether the shiur is different between the two. For example, if you were to take a sheretz and a nevela, half of an adasha size, half of a lentil size of a sheretz, and half of a kazayis size of a nevela, would they combine? Then even though sheretz and nevela have something in common that regarding tum oson, which means that they're both only tumma till that evening, but the shi'ur is different, sheretz ka'adosha, nevela kazayis, nonetheless the Chachomim say they combine. How exactly they would combine and to what halachas they would combine, that's issues elsewhere. But they would combine. And the same is with nevela and mace. They would combine, even though they have the shi'ur, they have the same in common, it's both bekazayis, but tum oson is not the same. Nevela is tumas erev, mace is tumas shiva. So the Chachomim say that sheretz, nevela, and mace would combine. Rabbi Yeshua, however, no, he said a rule, not like the Chachomim. He said that in order for them to combine, it has to be that the shiur and the tumah is identical. So if a person had half a kazayis of one mace and half a kazayis of another mace, they would combine, because mace has the same, also the same shiur, also the same tumah, they're both the same. Half a kazayis of one nevela, half a kazayis of another nevela, they would combine. Half an adosha, lentil size of one sheretz, half an adosha of another sheretz, they would combine. Because nevela with nevela, mace with mace, sheretz with sheretz, they have the same halachas, therefore they can combine. However, tum osoy veloy shi'uroy, if all they have in common is tum osoy, for example, sheretz and nevela, they have the same, they're both tumas erev, but the shi'ur is not the same. Sheretz beka adosha, nevela is with a kazayis. Or shi'uroy veloy tum osoy, for example, that you combine a nevela with mace, the shiur is the same, it's both bekazayis. But tum osoy is not the same, nevela is tumas erev, mace is tumas shiva. Loi tum osoy veloi shiuroi, if you try and combine sheretz with mace, that also the shiur is different, sheretz is bekadosha, mace is bekazayis. Also the tumah is different, sheretz is tumas erev, mace is tumas shiva. In these cases, ein mitzdarfin, they do not combine. That's what Rabbi Yeshua said. So the Gemara now is saying that over here, when you have food where the measure is kiseves, you have liquids where the measure is meloi lugmov, they have different measures. According to Rabbi Shua's rule, things with a different measure do not combine. Continues the Gemara of Nachman Omar. That was what Rav Chisda said. Rav Nachman argued and said, afilu teim rabbonon. It could even be the rabbonon in that Mishnah over there, where we saw in Me'ila, that the Chachomim say that even though it's got a different shiur or different tumah, they do combine. It could be they'll agree here regarding Yom Kippur that not. Ad kan lo ka'om rabbonon hosom elo li'inyan tumah. As far as the halachas of tumah, the subject of tumah, the shem tumah chadu, they have one thing in common. Sheretz, nevela, and mace, they might be different sources, that one is a creature, the other one is a carcass of an animal, the other one is a corpse of a person. However, they have something in common, and that's they're all called tumah, and therefore they can all combine. Aval hocha, but regarding Yom Kippur, mishum yesuva daitahu. The one thing that determines whether your chayav for eating or drinking on Yom Kippur is whether a person's mind is put at ease from the afflictions of eating and drinking. V'hai loy miyas v'daitei. And the Chachomim knew that if you didn't eat a whole measure of a kiseves, a date size of solids, or a whole maloy lugmov of liquids, then it's simply not yisuvadaiti. And therefore they do not combine. And just as we saw now, there was a machlokes of Chizda and Rav Nachman, two Amiroim, who argued whether our Mishnah was Rabbi Yeshua or not. We also found a different set of Amiroim who said the same. V'chein Omar Rish Lakish. Rish Lakish said the same as we saw before from Rav Chizda, that by machlokes Shnuya, that it's actually the machlokes over there in the Mishnah in Me'ila, Rabbi Yeshua he, and our Mishnah is following Rabbi Yeshua. Ditnan, as we saw in the Mishnah there, Klal Omar Rabbi Yeshua, V'chulu, we saw in the Mishnah there the whole rule that Rabbi Yeshua said, as we saw before. Rabbi Yechanan Omar, Rabbi Yechanan said, as we saw before from Rav Nachman, Afilo Teim Rabbonon, it could even be the Rabbonon of the Mishnah in Me'ila, Ad Kanoikom Rabbonon Hosom Elo Le'inyon Tumah. Over there, since they're all called Tumah, they all combine. Aval Hochem Mishum Yisuv Adaitahu, but regarding Yom Kippur, the determining factor is whether a person's mind is put at ease, V'hai Lo Midas V'daitei. And even the Chachomim there would agree that having part of a measure of solids, part of a measure of liquids, the two combined together would not cause a person to his mind at ease. He would still be called being in a state of affliction. And therefore the two do not combine and he will not be chayev on Yom Kippur. And in Yirtzeh Hashem in the next shiur, we're going to continue the next Mishnah.